Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Once again, we just pause for a moment and just thank God for being God.
Amen.
God has once again extended grace and mercy toward us. And the Apostle Paul made a statement, and he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away."
Yeah.
You know, church, we're living a time where man thinks more about himself than about God.
Yeah.
Man wants to give all of the credit to himself. I read somewhere where it said that God seeks a man with whom his praise will be safe. He looks for a man that he doesn't have to worry about that's going to steal his praise, because we know that God is the one that has given us all things pertaining to life and to godliness. So we're thankful once again to stand and to just speak a word for the Lord, because he's been so good to us. So I want to just thank Brother Goodman. We appreciate just him allowing me the opportunity and the privilege. He's continued to be a great example and a role model for me as I strive to preach the gospel of Christ. We thank you for your encouragement as we just continue all to just fight the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I appreciate my preaching brothers, Brother Newton, Brother Hamilton, and for their encouragement as well. Now, tonight we are going to be as brief as possible. Is that all right? I thought you'd say amen on that. Amen. But we feel that we can just find a word from the Lord that we can use into our lives that will just help us most of all become better people. If you will, turn to the text that was read into our hearing in 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5, an old familiar story that we have here. But the Bible says in Romans 15 and verse number 4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we through comfort and patience of the scriptures might have hope. So we have a lesson that will give us some hope for the future in 2 Kings chapter 5. Have you reached there yet?
Yeah.
Let us begin at verse number 1. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to and go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does sin unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and seek how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.'" Tonight I want to talk from this subject: humbling yourself in order to be healed. Humbling yourself in order to be healed. Now, we are all familiar with the story of Naaman. The Bible has some things to say about Naaman, and it starts off by saying that Naaman was a great man with his master. Naaman was honorable. Naaman was a man of valor. Naaman was a general of the Syrian army. Naaman was in cahoots with the king of Syria. So on the surface, it would seem that Naaman was the type of man that had it all. He had privilege. He had prestige. He had power. But he had a problem. In verse number 1, it says, without so much as a comma, a period, it says, after describing all these great things about Naaman, it says, but he was a leper. Now, I don't know if you know much about the condition of leprosy during the Bible times, but leprosy was one of those dreaded diseases. In Israel, a leper would be banished outside of the community. They would have to wear a sign pronouncing themselves unclean, unclean as they walked by. They would wear mourning garments. It was considered actually a living death. Now, Naaman was not an Israelite. He was outside of Israel. He was in the land of Syria. So he was not subject to the same limitations or constraints as the Israelites. However, we know that he still had a serious problem. Now, I know what you're thinking. You know, Brother Lister, this man seems to have it all. And you know, church, the one lesson that we can get from this is no matter from the CEO to the chief trash man, everyone has a problem. Amen. Amen? All of us have something that we need help from the Lord to deal with. Amen. And that is such in this case. You know, no doubt that Naaman got praise from the people. But don't you know that every single day that he looked himself in the mirror, yeah, he knew there was something that he could not shake. He had a problem that he needed some help from the Lord with. Yeah. So it doesn't matter your fortune or your fame. The one thing that is common to all of us is that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Church, the Bible says that you and I all have a sin problem. According to Isaiah 59, it says, because your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Uh-huh. Now, I just want to stop while I'm in the neighborhood here, because see, in society today, we like to place a lot of value on a person's status. You know, but we know by looking at the book of Luke chapter 12, where the Bible says a man's life consists not in the abundance of things in which he possesses. You know, just recently, I want to say, within the last few weeks, don't you know that the world's been captivated by this story of Anna Nicole Smith? I mean, was it just me, or did it seem to be just everywhere on the TV? You know, and it seemed like even the judge wanted to get his 15 minutes of fame. But even though this person had extreme wealth, you know what it really really revealed was that this woman had a problem. This woman had some serious issues in her life. And Britney Spears is another one. But see, that's what happens when we become so obsessed in the lives of celebrities. You know, where everything is that glitters is not gold. Amen? Amen? But see, at the heart of the matter is the fact that all of us need help from the Lord. Now, Naaman had leprosy. And according to Leviticus 13 and verse number 45, you know, he would have to pass by reading the words unclean, unclean, as if one was actually reading his own burial service. But one thing that you can just be grateful for in Naaman's case was the fact that Naaman was determined to get help. Look at verse number 3. Actually, verse number 2, where the Bible says that When the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. In Naaman's household, there was a servant girl that was brought captive out of the land of Israel. And she said to Naaman's wife, obviously she recognized that Naaman had a problem. And she said, you know what? The prophet is able to heal your husband. And think about that for a minute, because that's a lesson for us. Even though she was a servant girl, she still saw an opportunity to speak a word for the Lord. Now, sometimes we tend to get intimidated where we're in the company of somebody of some high social status. You know, the CEO or the president. But this girl spoke a word for the Lord and said, the prophet would be able to heal thee. And his wife went and she told her husband. And he went to the king of Syria and he was given a letter. So we're thankful that once he received the information, he acted upon it. He acted upon it. He wanted to do something about his condition, because obviously he's been struggling with this for a number of years. So he went to the king of Syria and he was given a letter to go to the king of Israel in verse number 6. Now, when the king of Israel read the letter, he misunderstood something. He says, am I God to kill and to make alive? Why does this man send you to me to cure you of your leprosy? Surely he seeks a quarrel with me. He's seeking a fight with me. Now, and it was so that Elijah heard this, the man of God, and he went to the king. Church, thank the Lord for a preacher. Amen. The king could do nothing in this situation, but thank you for somebody that had a connection with the Lord. Amen. The preacher said, I can help you with this. Don't get quiet on me now. Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for Brother Goodman. Men that are willing to share something with you that will help you become saved. Amen? Amen. So he said, why have you torn your clothes? I will help you. So he said, let him come to me now, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And verse number 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of Elisha. Picture the scenario, if you will. Naaman, a man of prestige. He has what you will call an entourage. And he goes down to the prophet Elisha's house. Verse number 10, Elisha sends a messenger out to him. Okay, now, one of the things that you think Elisha is impressed by this show? Do you think Elisha is intimidated by this? Elisha serves the great God of heaven and of earth. His boss is God. He has seen everything there is to see. So Elisha sends a messenger out to him. And the messenger says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Verse number 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord God, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman was angry. Church, this is where we're going to deal with an issue of pride. The Bible has a lot to say about pride interfering with a person's ability to be successful. Don't you know, with pride in your heart, you will never be able to please the Lord? Pride is one of those things that the Lord detests the most. So, there were several reasons that will lead us to the conclusion that Naaman was angry. For one, the waters of Jordan were usually muddy as compared to the crystal streams of Damascus. And the other reason was his pride has been wounded. Because the prophet didn't come out and greet him personally. And didn't roll out the red carpet for him. But if you look closely at the text, in verse number 11, Naaman says, "Behold, I thought." Behold, I thought. Now see, that's where the problem comes into play, church. Where we do too much thinking instead of doing. If Naaman had all the answers in the first place, why wouldn't he have been healed? But I thought. Any married people in here? You know, do you have trouble at times understanding your spouse? You know, they have a whole section at Borders. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. For women only, Sister Locust. And so on and so on. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse number 34, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" Yeah. Yeah. The Bible also says in Isaiah 55 and verse number 6, "For my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, or as high as my thoughts are above your thoughts." So when we get to the point where we think that we need to help the Lord in solving our problems, I think we need to step back a little bit. Amen. Say amen if you can. But he says, I thought, I had this idea in my mind of the way that I was going to be saved. I thought surely that I was going to be able to be baptized in the rivers of Damascus. But you're asking me to be dipped seven times in the Jordan River. I'm a man of prestige. Does that sound familiar to any of you, church? You know, the rules of salvation are clear. And in this allusion here, we know where he says to be washed. Okay, the translation is to be dipped. An allusion to baptism. And some will say, well, do I have to be baptized? Why can't I just accept the Lord Jesus in my heart? Brother Gilman, do I have to be faithful and come to worship? Why can't I just read the Bible on my own at home? Do I have to give as I prosper? I thought. Less thinking and more doing. Amen? Amen. Pride. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. When pride cometh, then come the shame. With lowly is wisdom. In Proverbs 16 and verse number 18, the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before the fall. Yeah. Proverbs 29 and verse number 23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." The Bible is crystal clear that pride will bring about destruction, but humbleness will bring about everlasting life. The Bible speaks so harshly about the sin of pride. For example, Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful king, but he forgot God. And God made him become like an animal and eat of the grass of the fields. King Herod heard a chant from the crowd saying that he was like a god. And since he didn't humble himself, God struck him down. And the worms consumed his body. Satan himself exalted himself, or tried to exalt himself above God. And we know what happened. He was banished from heaven. Over and over and over, even through example, direct command, we're told, don't be prideful, don't be arrogant, but be humble. You know, one of Theodore Roosevelt's children has said at his funeral, "Father always wanted to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. See, church, the problem with us is sometimes we just want all of the attention. We want all of the spotlight on us. Now, Naaman had many things that he could be proud of, such as his position. He was a commander of a very powerful army. Men took orders from him. Men feared him. He was also very popular. He had a good name. And there's nothing wrong with that, church. You see, not all pride is sinful pride. But the problem is when pride becomes sinful, when it becomes the feeling of superiority. Pride is sinful when it becomes to inflate who you are and what you have done. Pride inflates oneself, and everyone else is deflated in the process. Pride is sinful when it causes you not to admit wrongdoing, imperfections, and the role that others have played in your life. In the text, it says that Naaman was a great man because the Lord had given him victory. The Lord is the one that was responsible for him being successful. There was nothing that he did of himself. That's something that we all need to remember. You remember the story about the CEO of a Fortune 500 company who pulled into a gas station to get gas. When he went inside to pay, he noticed that his wife was engaged in a conversation with a gas station attendant. And when he came back, he noticed that they were in a deep conversation. So as he pulled off, as they both pulled off in the car, he didn't say anything. And then he smiled and said, "I bet I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking that you're glad you're married to me, a Fortune 500 CEO, and not that gas station attendant." She said, "No. I was thinking that if I was married to him, he'd be the Fortune 500 CEO and you'd be the gas station attendant." See, church, sometimes we need to realize that some of the blessings that we receive, they're not all because of us. We've had some help along the way. Amen? Now, Naaman has many battles, but the Lord was the one that had gave him victory. Church, the promise. The promise that Naaman received from the prophet was in verse number 10. The message was to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he was angry. He went away in a rage. Look at verse number 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Now, mind you, Naaman and the servants probably traveled a considerable distance to get here. But thank the Lord that his servant had some tact. You know, if you want a lesson about being persuasive in a positive way, now he could have said, "Naaman, man, you know you need to be clean. You know you have a condition." But he came to him, he said, with reverence, "My father." And he asked him a question. If he had bid you to do some great thing, would you have done it? Now see, can't you see sometimes how Satan will cause us to think the things that the Lord requires of us are grievous? That's Satan. You see how far this man traveled? You see how long he's been dealing with his condition? All he was asked was to be, he told him to go wash 7 times. But that's Satan. That's why when people don't respond to the gospel, it's no grievous thing. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to all, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. But it's not any great thing. But that's the great deceiver. You know, he will tell you, you don't need to get baptized. Just accept the Lord. You don't need to repent. Just slow down a little bit. But church, you see that the Lord had to deal with Naaman on the issue of pride. And sometimes the Lord has to strip us to strengthen us. Sometimes the Lord has to break us down to build us up. You know, the word that we get for tribulation, it comes from the ancient tool, tribulum, which was used to beat grains until they shed the chaff from the wheat. And you know what the chaff is, right? The chaff is the worthless matter or the refuse. So tribulation separates the chaff from our lives, leaving behind the finest usable grain. The Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. You know, there's sometimes, you know, the Lord will give us something just to make sure that we stay humble. Just to make sure that we know who's in control. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Bible says, and thou shalt know all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble thee, to prove thee, to know which was in thy heart. And he humbled thee and he proved thee. But church, we need to know that the Lord is the one that is able to provide for us. But sometimes he has to humble us. But church, God has many promises that are in store for us. Just like Naaman was told that he should be clean. God's promises are good, according to 1 Kings 8 and 56. God's promises are exceedingly great and precious. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4. God's promises are confirmed in Christ. Romans 15, 8. They are fulfilled in Christ. Acts 13 and 23. They are obtained through faith. Hebrews 11, verse number 33. And they are given to those that believe. Galatians 3 and verse number 22. So God's promises, they have to be received by faith. So it took some faith for Naaman to realize here that his pride would have caused him to miss out on healing. Would have caused him to miss out on becoming made clean. But I'm so thankful that he was willing to have a change of heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And church, the Lord deals with us in the same way. You know, the Lord wants to allow us to see sometimes that we have to come down literally off our high horse. So Naaman had to do that. He arrived at the prophet's house with a chariot and with his horses and met the prophet's servant. But realizing that what he was after was worth humbling himself. Amen. In church, the final portion is that the Lord has been gracious and good to all of us. The Lord has given us more than we deserve. More than we deserve. But he requires us to be humble. He requires us to be gracious. There was a story. I'm preparing to close here. There was a teenage boy who was seriously injured in an automobile accident. The doctors did all they could to repair the damage to the boy's body. But despite their medical knowledge, they were completely unable to restore his legs. He was informed that he would eventually walk, but only with the aid of braces and crutches. The young man was devastated. His whole life had revolved around sports, with the likelihood of receiving an athletic scholarship in football. But he would never run again. Now he was not sure that he even wanted to walk. The next year was not easy for the boy or for his parents. Major decisions had to be made, routines had to be established, and attitudes adjusted. But one evening, the boy's father approached him and said, there's a guest preacher in town. Get dressed. I want us to go to church and hear the message of God. At first, the boy protested, but then he eventually went. At the end of the conclusion, the invitation was extended for prayer and for those to be saved. And the boy and his father went up to pray. As he went up, his braces thumped loudly on the floor. And they went up and they had prayer and they came back. And the father turned to his son and the boy said, It's okay now, Dad. I still have the braces on my legs, but God has removed the braces from my heart. Church, God requires a change of heart. God requires us to change our thinking. God requires us to be humble. Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So many times we want to do things our own way, but we no longer need to think for God. Amen. God has established the plan to save men. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The invitation has been extended for all to come and freely drink from the everlasting spring of water. All that are willing to accept the Savior's invitation to come. Jesus says in Revelation 3, verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, he says, I will come unto him. I will sup with him, and he with me. Today the invitation will be extended for those who are not members of the body of Christ. Those that want a chance to experience the abundant life that Jesus offers. It requires, number one, you've heard the gospel. Do you believe it? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewardeth them that diligently seek him. After that, you must be willing to repent of your sins. Luke 13, verse number 3. Then you must be willing to confess your faith in Jesus Christ. And finally, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Amen. For those that are members of the body of Christ, but you've been dealing with an issue of pride. You've been trying to do things your own way, rather than being submissive to the will of God. It is time to, number one, change your heart. Change the way that you think. Allow the Lord to lead you and to guide you. Wherever you are, whoever you are, we're to send the offer. Come.